the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Michael Cassero, and co-host, John Ashton. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit online, painlesslivingshow.com.
And good morning. And I use the term a little loosely. It's cold.
Good cold morning.
It is cold. We are here for the next hour, Dr. Cassero and myself, to speak about pain and how to attack it, specifically headache pain today. Write the number down, 888-440-4442. Or painlessslivingshow.com. You can always get through to the doctor asking a question using the contact button there. But let's get right off the bat. Do you have a headache or do you have a migraine? How do you tell the difference? What is the difference?
If you're the one with the headache, I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of difference.
Oh, this is true. This is
there. There are some technical differences, but in common use, mm-hmm. when the headache gets severe to a certain point, people refer to those severe headaches right. as migraines. And, you know, I'm one that instead of telling people they're misusing the terminology, I'll go with the flow.
Yeah.
Someone comes in and tells me they're having migraines, migraine.
Cool. Is caffeine a great way to treat a severe headache? Because that seems to be what headache medicine over the counter is filled with.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Caffeine does seem to help. We really don't know why or how.
Okay.
We just know that it does. And for some people, the caffeine works better than the aspirin that it's mixed with or the Tylenol or anything else. And for other people, there's little or no effect. And then there's always the people whose spouse switches out for decaf and doesn't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go around for the next 2 weeks thinking they might have a brain tumor.
So it works both ways. And again,
yes.
we're not sure why.
Well, the one is clearly a withdrawal syndrome. Mm-hmm. Headaches is a cause or is caused by caffeine withdrawal. But don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go with the flow, like you said.
Yeah.
Live with it. Do that. Do you find that most headaches are caused by problems elsewhere?
Almost always. You know, in fact, if you read almost any medicine bottle,
mm-hmm.
or if it's not on the bottle, go to the internet and look up the package insert for the medicine, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them and the potential side effects,
right.
it lists headache.
Gotcha.
Even the headache medicines list headache as a possible side effect.
Which could be one of the reasons why none of us ever take the time to read those inserts.
Could be.
Oh. Now, do headaches, we have a number of ailments on a list here that are associated with headaches.
Sure.
Is it a cause and effect? Is it the ailment that causes the headache or the headache that can cause the ailments, such as we're talking immune system problems?
Well, high blood pressure is something that frequently gets, I can tell when my blood pressure's up because I get a headache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be a few small percentage of people that their head really is pressure sensitive. But I think more likely is that you have something else that causes both the headache and the blood pressure to go up. And it's not that those two are directly related, but they have a common cause.
Common core to it there.
And that's the way it is with a lot of other things too.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that a lot of times it's joint problems, neck problems, back problems, things like that?
Yeah, frequently in the neck, especially when you talk about people that have chronic daily headaches,
mm-hmm.
they frequently have some arthritis in their neck,
okay.
and that's related to the headache. It may not be the cause of their severe headaches, but it could be that dull ache that they have most mm-hmm. of the time. Other things, I'll never forget, I was very early in my career, and I came to know how shoes can cause headaches.
Oh, this is intriguing.
Yes. Well,
go on.
It was a young lady with really serious headaches,
mm-hmm.
And every time she came to see me in the office, she was wearing sandals.
Okay.
And after several meetings, you know, trying to explore what other things could be contributing to her headaches, I knew that she was a dancer, but I had something else in mind. Then it turns out that she was one of these dancers at the all-night clubs.
Okay.
And she said that at work she wore 7-inch heels.
Okay.
Well, that had a lot to do with her headaches.
I can imagine.
So we had a little economic discussion. Uh-huh. And at the end of the economic discussion, I asked her, so where can I get a pair of heels like that?
It's more than just the shoes, Doc. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sometimes I felt like I wasted my time in school.
So if your headache is caused by a problem elsewhere, is treating the problem elsewhere going to necessarily attack the headaches, or is that something that you should always look at as a separate issue?
Well, you do have to look at things as a separate issue just because it might be a different doctor that you're going to for it. But first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question that way is irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay.
In more than 30 years now of treating people with chronic daily headaches, I can't think of any that I've ever seen that didn't also have an irritable bowel problem. And when you clear up the irritable bowel problem, the headaches seem to go away. Hmm. Now, yeah, they may also have arthritis in their neck. They may also be taking medications with side effects that can cause headache. All these things can also come to play. But it seems like these people that I see that have headaches every day or nearly every day also have digestive problems.
Right.
And there does seem to be a direct link there.
Hmm. Is it being explored by anybody?
Yeah, it's being explored. I wouldn't say it's being explored formally, though, because one of the biggest weaknesses in the way we practice medicine in this country is that everybody's got their own department.
Right.
And when you have an ailment in one doctor's department that is causing symptoms in another doctor's department, a lot of times it's like everybody points the finger, says it's not my problem.
Not a whole lot of interdepartmental cooperation.
Yeah, which is a problem. It's one of the things, it's a natural human endeavor to try to simplify things, make complex things more simple.
Yeah.
Well, carving the body up into parts does make it more simple, but there's a lot lost in that process.
May make it more simple for you. Makes it more difficult for one who is trying to keep one's entire body in shape. Real quick, though, I want to talk about, because, again, food rears its ugly head as a cause for a lot of this, specific foods. And I have run into people who refuse to go to Chinese restaurants with me because they say monosodium glutamate makes them sick, gives them headaches, etc. Why is that?
Why is it?
MSG, by the way.
Yeah, it's a chemical reaction in there. The glutamate is the problem. It's not the sodium. Glutamate is a neurotransmitter.
Oh.
So what you're doing is bombarding nerve synapses with this neurotransmitter, sends all kinds of extra signals. And in your brain, if those are the signals on a pain pathway, guess what? You're going to feel a lot of pain. Interesting thing about monosodium glutamate, that's probably the first of the artificial food additives that was identified as, you know, something that could have health consequences. But there are hundreds or thousands now that all share some property like that where they can cause physical ailments like headaches.
Again, because it's kind of designed to spice up your nerve reaction to the taste of food and things.
Yeah, it lights up your taste buds and it lights up other things too.
Everything else. You know, you can always go to painlesslivingshow.com, click on the contact button, get a question directly into Dr. Cassaro, and we've got one coming up that not only is about headaches, but one of his favorite pieces of gear too. Hang out. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessliving.com.
888-440-4442. That is the phone number to get into Painless Living Show with Dr. Cassaro. PainlessLivingShow.com. If you're shy, you don't want to talk on the radio, but you still have a question, you can always ask it directly using the contact button there, as did this listener. Said, Doctor, I have good news and a question. I followed your advice. Well, he's the one. Okay. I followed your advice and bought an inversion table for my low back pain. It works great. It also works for my headaches. Why? I still get headaches at least twice a week, but if I get in the inversion table at the start of a headache, the headache goes away. Even if the headache is severe, if I slowly invert myself, the headache will go away in less than 2 minutes. It starts coming back right away when I get off the inversion table, but if I keep inverting myself over and over, the headache will eventually go away. How often can I invert myself, and will my headaches eventually stop?
Good questions, and this is that favorite piece of gear that you were talking about.
The inversion table.
Yes, the inversion table treats everything from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, this is the head end.
Yep.
I guess the first question is, why does this work? Apparently, the headaches that this person suffers are caused from arthritis in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put some tension, some traction on the neck, it eases up the irritation and that arthritis, and it makes the headache go away. And that's also why the headache seems to come back after getting out of the inversion table.
As soon as gravity starts working in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Hasn't been long enough for that irritation to calm down completely. But that's why if keeps reinverting himself, the headache eventually goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good tool for that. And as far as safety goes and how often, I don't know that there's any limit. I'm sure that hasn't been studied extensively, but you can do it as often as you want. You can actually stay in the inversion table as long as you want to also. It's just that most people, after about somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes, they starting to get a little uncomfortable, might be hard to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
The nose is kind of congested. After that, so you got to get up and let the circulation kind of renormalize itself. But I don't see why you couldn't just keep repeating that.
Right.
And certainly if it gets the kind of relief that this gentleman's talking about, it's worthwhile.
On a related topic, one of the causes of headache you've got listed here is circulation problems. What does being on an inversion table, does that, like, reverse the circulation paths, or does it just make it harder, make your heart pump harder, or what does it do?
Well, I'm going to answer that, and then there's another safety issue about inversion tables that I'll answer afterwards. But your circulation changes, and one of the biggest changes is that in the lower part of your body, your veins have valves in them. Uh-huh. The valves keep the blood from flowing backwards so that it only flows back towards the heart. And if there's a decrease in the force of flow, the valve keeps it from going back down to your feet.
Okay.
Now, in the upper part of your body, there are no valves in those blood vessels. You really don't need them because gravity is drawing everything back towards your heart.
Mm-hmm.
When you invert yourself upside down in the inversion table, or even if you're just tilting back so your head is lower than your heart, the blood doesn't necessarily keep flowing back to your heart the same way because there are no valves to keep gravity from pulling it backwards. Now, it does still flow, but in the meantime, it kind of backs up some pressure, and that's what makes your nose get stuffy, and that's what makes your face red.
Mm-hmm.
And gets that uncomfortable feeling. Is that harmful? No.
Okay.
Unless you got something bad in your head. Like if you've got weak blood vessels like an aneurysm, or if you've had a concussion and now you've got a what's called a subdural hematoma, you've got a blood clot in your brain that's still slowly leaking, that's a bad thing whether you're upside down or not, but upside down, it can make it a lot worse. so that, you know, there was a long time that it was thought that people with high blood pressure shouldn't get in an inversion table.
Mm-hmm.
But they've actually done good, rigorous studies to show that that makes no difference.
Okay, good note.
If your blood pressure is really high, instead of getting in the inversion table, you need to go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's not because the inversion table is a problem,
right,
for the high blood pressure.
Yeah, it's a little more serious than that. But all in all, the inversion table can, depending on the cause, of course, but it might be a good first step for people who suffer from headaches constantly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're able to get any kind of traction on your neck that makes it feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when people get a headache, they'll go see a massage therapist and they'll do manual traction on their neck and it feels really good. That's a real good sign that an inversion table might be a good treatment for your headaches.
Or a chiropractic adjustment.
That's something I would recommend for anybody that has frequent headaches.
Mm-hmm.
See a chiropractor, especially while you're having a headache. See if he can get rid of the headache for.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a really easy thing. That's a lot better in the long run than coming to see me, where I use sharp instruments, do invasive things.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like that. No.
Well, if a chiropractor can do it without sharp instruments,
right,
it's a whole different category of risk. The end result might be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the risk is a whole lot different.
Right. What does it tell you if the chiropractic adjustment makes the headache go away?
Well, that tells me right off the bat we're talking about arthritis in the upper part of the neck.
Okay.
Your neck has 7 bones, and they're numbered, get this, 1 through 7.
Very creative.
Yeah, and if you have headaches that the chiropractor can relieve, then it almost certainly your headaches are coming from the 4th bone or above. Now, there are some cases where it can come from below that, but like 95% of the time, it's from the 4th bone up.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. And spinal alignment, is that a posture thing, or is that something else that a chiropractic adjustment can help, or where are we with that situation?
Well, the answer to that's probably both. Yeah, a chiropractor can help if there's an alignment problem, especially if you've been in an impact of some kind, whether it's a car wreck or a serious fall, anything where you've had some impact and now you're having headaches as a result of that impact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chiropractor's probably a good person to see. Posture, though, you asked about.
Yeah.
That's a major contributor to a lot of people. And what comes to mind right off the top of my head, because I saw somebody new in the office this week with this problem, is cyclists. If you're a cyclist and you take it seriously, so you're leaning forward, you have to tilt your head back in order to see the road straight ahead.
You do.
And so you're holding your head in that posture for long periods of time, and then the road surface is not smooth. There's always imperfections.
So you're jostling yourself.
So you're bouncing your head up and down on the end of this curved neck, and you tend to get grinding of the joints that are prone to the arthritis that causes headaches.
Ah. Okay. And I'm sure there are other people who have weird head positions too. I mean,
not a basic
office worker.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a weird head position, just the person that sits at a desk at a computer workstation all day long with their head protruding forward and looking down slightly. That's a horrible posture as far as leading to headaches.
Do you ever get any patients? I ran into a person with this problem this past week myself with bad glasses. Not bad from the standpoint of they're not good enough for their eyes, but with multi-line, like bifocal or trifocals, and you see these people who have to read, they have to do like this. They have to, you know, lift their head up so their chin is at an awkward position, their head's tilted back, and then their eyes are forced down so they can see through the one part of their glasses at the very bottom of the lenses they can actually see through.
You've been watching me? I wear bifocals. I hate them. They have no line in them, but I hate them because the transition is always in the wrong place. Yeah, posture can be a problem there.
That's got to hurt.
You know, I don't know what the deal is with bad glasses, but yeah, you know, fortunately, I can read without glasses.
Ah, okay.
So I just take my glasses off, and that gets around a lot of that problem.
No problem. All right. Our number here is 888-440-4442. Should you be suffering from constant headaches or chronic headaches or bad headaches now and again, give us a call, 888-440-4442. Or use the contact button at painlessliving.com. And just hang out, because we've got a lot more to talk about in the area of headaches when we come right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
That's right, 888-440-4442. And someone has done just that.
Yes, we're going to the phone now. We're going to talk to Tom, who's calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Tom, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
Yes, sir. You said something in discussion with your previous caller about inversion tables being good for everything from head to feet. I have an issue with neuropathy in my feet, and I was just wondering if an inversion table would help with that. This is caused, according to my doctor, by having LA1C of 6.5. I have since modified my diet to get that down, but the neuropathy hasn't been helped. Would an inversion table help this?
Well, it's possible. Let me, not to sound flippant about it, but it couldn't hurt. A lot of times what happens is people with elevated blood sugar problems, they do develop nerve damage that leads to neuropathy, but chances are that the same type problems that are leading to the neuropathy are leading to arthritis in your low back. And both of those working together could be creating the symptoms that you have from neuropathy. So that using the inversion table may relieve the symptoms, even though the nerve damage might be unchanged. It might hurt less or be less numb. Now, on the other hand, what you were asking about the elevated hemoglobin A1C, it takes years, decades, for the elevating blood sugar to finally cause enough nerve damage that you can feel it and have problems with it. When you're trying to recover, it takes a long time also. So controlling your diet and getting that A1C down will help, but don't expect it to be instant. It may take months to years, because I don't know how old you are, but my guess is that your blood sugar was probably rising for somewhere between 10 and 20 years, and you just didn't start getting problems that you could tell until recently. But going in reverse, it may take a couple of years before it stops causing symptoms.
So you're hopeful then that with proper diet, the neuropathy would at least be diminished over years?
Yes. Yes, I've seen that happen many, many times. Unfortunately, for most people, they just don't have the willpower to stick with it, and so they don't get the results within a short period of time, so they just give up. But for the people that stick with it, you can not only reverse the neuropathy, but you can also reverse a lot of the other problems that come from having blood sugar out of control or diabetes. You can reverse your high blood pressure. You can reverse, digestive problems. You're not going to do anything about permanent damage. If you've already had permanent damage in your eyes or your kidneys, that's going to stay. But the reversible damage will gradually regress.
Well, this neuropathy manifested about 2 years ago, and I'm 67. So I have completely quit soft drink, so I think I've got the willpower. It's just I'm just hopeful that the damage can be repaired.
Well, there's a good chance that even if it doesn't go all the way back to normal, it will go back enough where you're not having the burning or the pain, and some of the numbness might get better. In addition to the diet modifications you've done, some nutritional supplements can help too. And two in particular work really well for neuropathy. One is called alpha-lipoic acid. That's an amino acid that you can buy at any health food store, alpha-lipoic acid. And the other is a good quality mineral supplement, multiple minerals involved, not just the calcium and magnesium, but usually there's also some zinc and some selenium. And the multiple mineral supplement helps the nerve function, along with the alpha-lipoic acid, helps the nerve to be able to get rid of its waste products better so that the nerve is less irritated and it functions better.
Well, thank you very much. I'll get that.
Okay, and good luck with the inversion table. Like I said, it can't hurt, and it may help by reducing some of the input from the arthritis in your low back.
Do you have a preference as to what kind?
Well, there's a brand out there that probably has more than everybody else put together, and that's Teeter, T-E-E-T-E-R, and they're widely available in stores or on the internet. But there are several other brands out there too, and some of them you can go to different stores around town where they have floor models where you can try them out. But basically, the two biggest differences are the mechanism to buckle your ankles. And I like the spring-loaded mechanisms. They're much easier to use. And then how durable they are. If you're a big guy, if you're overweight, over, say, 250 or 300 pounds, you probably ought to get a sturdier table. If you're under 200 pounds, the least expensive inversion tables out there will be plenty sturdy for you, and you'll be able to use those forever without having to worry about their durability.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
That's good. I was at a store just the other day that had a complete lineup. They had one of those Teeters for under $300, which I thought was a phenomenal price.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, just like electronics. The prices on these things seem to be coming down.
I want to talk about sugar, because it's one of your favorite topics. It pops up every week. And before I get into sugar in general, I have one specific question. Is the headache caused after you imbibe a little too heavily in some adult beverages? Is that caused by the residual sugar that's in those distilled spirits, etc., or not?
Good question. Of course, the number one that we all talk about would be the hangover headache, which is caused from the alcohol itself.
Oh, okay.
But the sugar, especially in mixed drinks or in the liqueurs, the sugar works with the alcohol to get it into your cells where it's going to cause the problems and then dehydrates the cells even faster than the alcohol by itself. So you end up getting probably a worse hangover if you drink sweet drinks.
So take it without cola or without ginger ale.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of personal research on this because I don't like sweet drinks.
Right. I'd be willing to do the research if you wanted to fund it for me.
No, I suspect that people that drink straight liquor probably don't get as bad of a hangover as people that drink mixed drinks. And one of the objective observations that I have that I base that on is when you look at alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, part of that is just because they're alcoholics. But the alcoholics aren't mixing their drinks.
No.
They're drinking the liquor straight. And I suspect that before they got to the point where they were alcoholics, if they were mixing their drinks, their hangovers would have been bad enough that they would have found something else to get addicted to.
I would have talked them out of that. You know, I'm old enough to remember when salt was the nasty thing that caused all of your bodily ills. Now it seems sugar is the main culprit. What does sugar do?
Well, we're spreading around the love. That's, gotcha. That's what it is.
Or the hate is, you want to look at it. Yeah.
No, the salt thing probably always was a little bit overstated.
Okay.
There are a percentage of people out there that are salt sensitive, but most people are not. But sugar, on the other hand, everybody is sensitive to sugar. Even if it doesn't make you gain weight, if you look good on the outside, no matter how much sugar you eat, things on the inside are still going terribly haywire.
Not so pretty on the inside.
That's right. Well, you know, digressing a little bit, but still sticking on this topic of pain, a lot of what is called fibromyalgia, and we talk about on this show, is perpetuated by sugar. People with fibromyalgia tend to, among other things, have appetite problems, and when they do eat, they tend to go towards comfort foods, very sweet things, a lot of cookies and ice cream, and that perpetuates the pain problem. And then, sort of related still, a lot of people are referring to Alzheimer's disease these days as type 3 diabetes. It's diabetes of the brain.
Whoa.
So when you think about how they're putting sugar in everything these days, you can't pick up a food label without seeing sugar in there. Maybe it's not such a coincidence that we're filling up nursing homes so fast.
Wow, that's almost frightening.
No, it's not almost frightening. It is frightening.
Yeah. Reading. Is that a combination of both eye strain and positioning? Because when you spend a long time reading, a lot of times it'll give you a headache.
There's multiple things. Like you said, it's a combination. It could be eye strain. I think that eye strain gets overplayed a lot just because of the dogma in the old days. They didn't know what was causing the headaches. They figured it must be eye strain.
Okay.
And so everyone still says that.
But it made sense then. It makes sense now.
Yeah, I think posture, especially with that, your head bent forward and holding it in that position for a long period of time.
Yeah. Get yourself an electronic reader. Hold it straight up. You don't have to worry about it.
There you go.
All righty. 888-440-4442. Still a lot of time left. Get a question in to Dr. Cassaro. If you were to call now, we're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
888-440-4442. That is our phone number. Headaches, headache pain, chronic headache pain, recurring, continuous, migraines, serious headaches, whatever that is a topic here. 888-440-4442. Is there a difference between having a headache first thing when you wake up and having a headache last thing at night or last thing in the evening?
Well, I guess one is a bad start to the day. The other is a bad end to the day.
But would that be a telltale sign?
Yeah, it is, especially the headaches that you awaken with or are awakened by.
Right.
Very few things cause headaches that you awaken with. One thing would be really bad stuff inside your head, like tumors or aneurysms, but that's easy to find out. Mm-hmm. You just get a CT scan, and you can eliminate that as a cause. Next would be the headaches that we were talking about right before the break, the toxic headaches, the classic toxic headache being a hangover. Mm-hmm. But it can be any kind of toxin, and those are sometimes hard to run down, figure out exactly what it is.
Because there are some toxins that cause headaches that you would not consider to be a toxin. I mean, not you, but the person who ingested it.
Oh, yeah. And these days, the things that I see very often are the plug-in air fresheners.
Really?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but there's not a pine forest in that thing.
Really? Bummer.
No, those things are just made to emit an odor, mm-hmm. but people don't put much thought into what goes into making
right.
that odor
yeah.
and what's it doing to the rest of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other kind of headaches, and this is the one where these are the most common.
Okay.
And the most can be done about it. It's always a happy ending with these ones, and that's unstable joints in your neck from arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually the result of old injuries in, you know, like high school sports, and then someone in their 40s or 50s starts getting headaches.
Yeah.
But those headaches, there's very definitive treatments that can be done, usually radio frequency neurolysis, where you burn the little nerves that go to the painful joint,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't get the headache anymore. And it's not like you found a way to treat the headache. It's the headache is gone,
mm-hmm.
so you're not having to treat it at all anymore. So for a lot of people, that can add an extra $100 or so to their monthly budget if they're not having to buy all those headache medicines.
I also would imagine that it could make them overall more healthy, because an overabundance of headache medicines can lead to other internal problems.
Yes, good point. So yeah. it's not just an economic issue, but that's usually where most people see yeah. the results yeah. right away.
If it works for you, that's fine.
Yeah.
There are other things that come. Sometimes people get headaches after they eat. Would that be another toxic reaction? Or
could be. Frequently it is. But the hard part about headaches, you know, when I was first in my training, they told us to have people keep a headache diary and write down everything they ate. But it's very confusing to look at those. I don't ask people to do that anymore, because let's say they wrote down that they ate a hamburger for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, where'd that meat come from? Was it a hamburger that came out a window, or was it one that you made at home? And what was on that hamburger? You know, it yeah, gets exactly. endless. So that's one problem. And then the other problem is the headache that you got this afternoon might not be caused by what you just ate for lunch. It might be caused by what you had for lunch 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
mixed with what you had for supper the day before that.
Gotcha.
So it gets very confusing to keep those diaries to find the dietary source for headaches. What usually works better is just have people clean up their whole diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I instruct them on what's called an elimination diet.
Okay.
And that's basically where they go to eating just stuff they buy in the produce department, just vegetables.
Just
a little bit of fruit, but
okay.
None of the
I think I might rather live with a headache myself.
None of the other stuff. Well, you know, a lot of people might,
uh-huh.
but it's amazing. Some people, they stick with that diet, and in 2 weeks, their chronic daily headaches are now either gone or almost gone.
Okay.
And then they get tired of eating that way. They go back to eating regular. The headaches come right back, and that's when they get convinced yes. that, okay, I think between the two,
mm-hmm.
I'll modify the way I eat.
Yeah. Well, I guess if it works for you. Again, as you keep saying about how it gets confusing, some people get headaches after they eat. Some people get headaches because they haven't eaten.
Oh, yeah. Works both ways. And a lot of times that gets blamed on blood sugar, and it rarely is. I mean, we've done, not me personally, but studies have been done even on people that claim to be very in tune with things. They know when their blood sugar is low, and you measure it, and turns out that they're in tune to something else. It's not their blood sugar.
And then I guess the biggest question that most of us would have is daily life stress. Why is that so bad for us? I mean, it not only causes headaches, but can lead to cardiac problems and all sorts of medical situations. What is it about the stress that...
Well, I don't know that we have enough time left in the show to fully answer that, except for me to say that that's true. It does, and headaches are part of that picture.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that if you're under chronic stress, there are changes in your metabolism that make your whole nervous system more irritable.
Okay.
So that predisposes you to all kinds of nervous system consequences that include heart disease, changes in the way your digestive organs work, changes in the way your kidneys work, changes in headaches and pain sensation everywhere.
Okay. Well, that makes sense when you explain it like that. The Reader's Digest version, encapsulated.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Other than an elimination diet, what kind of at-home treatment, for lack of a better word, would you suggest for people who have regular headache problems?
Exercise.
Okay.
And, you know, it's because there are changes in your metabolism with exercise that work just the opposite of what I was talking about before. Decrease your overall nerve irritability. The exercise doesn't have to be rigorous. It just has to be regular. Something like getting out and taking a good brisk walk every day, 20-30 minutes, that's probably enough where it'll decrease, if not headache frequency, then headache intensity, or maybe both.
Maybe something even as simple as eschew the elevator and walk up to your office every now and again.
Sure.
You know?
And instead of riding that cart around the grocery store because it's, you know.
It's fun. Yeah, exactly.
I was in the grocery store a couple of weeks ago doing the grocery shopping, and I saw a couple of young men having fun on those carts, racing on the aisles.
Again, oxygen treatments is on here. What does that do?
Well, there's a couple of different styles of oxygen treatments. Okay. One has to do with intravenous injections of things that are supposed to improve oxygenation of your tissues. And there's studies out there that shows a benefit from that. And then another is hyperbaric oxygen, where you actually get inside of a chamber and breathe high concentrations of oxygen, more than you could ever get breathing regular room air at atmospheric pressure.
Right. Unless you go to Las Vegas. Well, because they pump oxygen in so you don't sleep.
Yeah, and both ways will empty your wallet.
What they have in common. Okay, so, I mean, we've got about a minute here, which is probably not enough time to entertain another phone call, but I'm sure that there are a lot of people who have headaches that are looking for a miracle. Do you have any miracles you can hand out?
Well, the only miracle I have is that the people that are looking for miracles usually never find it. Yeah. It's the people that start to take seriously what their own, how their own body interacts with their environment and start protecting themselves. They're the ones that eventually find the miracle that the other people never find.
Yeah, it's like an overnight sensation for someone who's worked hard for 20 years.
Something like that,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So basically, avoid bad food, cut back on sugar.
Well, I prefer to term it in the positive. Instead of avoid bad food, seek good food.
Increase your veggies, just like Mama used to tell you.
Yeah.
Eat more veggies.
Yeah, eat what comes from a farm, not what comes from a factory.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Man, it's so tough to make it in life these days without causing yourself pain. Just, it's a lot of work.
It's getting more and more work.
Yeah.
I agree. Our environment is changing, and regardless of all the resilience built into our human bodies, we don't adapt as fast as we can change our environment.
That's it, yeah. And go for the caffeinated coffee. That's just my own personal opinion.
Yep.
What can I get to say? All right, shameless self-promotion, Doctor. You're going to be around for the whole week, available on social media, Facebook and Twitter and stuff. What are the addresses?
Facebook is Painless Living Radio Show.
Okay.
Twitter is at Painless Living. And, of course, we're always on the contact form on the web, painlessliving.com.
So if you have any...
painlessliving.com.
Right. painlessliving.com. Contact button. If you have any residual questions, be sure to get them in. Maybe they'll be answered next week at this time. Until then.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm co-host John Ashton. You have a painless week. Go Pats. We'll see you next Saturday.